the Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
It's good Monday. Thanks for being with us. I believe we're turning the corner on summer. This will be the last big break before football gets started with the All-Star game coming up in L.A. But we are back with you pretty regularly now. Over the last 6-8 weeks, we've had some best-of shows we've run. But getting back in the swing of things, there'll still be a few days, even some weeks possibly, of some best-ofs. But as I see the news cycle progress, and having done this now since it's coming up on our 12th year, believe it or not, I feel like there's just times where we're just filling time to fill time. And that's not one of the times today, because there's a lot that is going on. Our opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. I was just on the phone with Desert Financial Credit Union, visiting with Carlisa over there. Great people. We appreciate their support. Today is SEC Media Day on the college platform. And it's really interesting how college football has finally figured out, like the NFL, to keep your name out of the news cycle year-round. No longer is it, oh, well, we're done, we'll see you next year. The NFL has figured out that if you fly off a fart in March, it's going to make news, depending on who's the one that's passing gas. That's just how they become. At times, it's obnoxious, but they've done that as their business model. I think in the college platform, now that we're into SEC Media Days, after what happened last week at Big 12, new commissioner of the Big 12 said we're open for business. Today, Greg Sankey, the head of the SEC, was pretty straightforward about, yeah, we think we've got this figured out. And they do. It's either going to be Nick Saban in Alabama or Ryan Day in Ohio State, in all likelihood that are lifting a title. If you're a Georgia Bulldog fan, deal with it. It's really interesting to me how the name, image, likeness, transfer portal, collectives have dominated the cycle here in the last year. So today, with the SEC opening up for business, and their commissioner this morning was pretty straightforward that, yeah, we're not going to mess around with the conference that is tied up in their rights, meaning the ACC. They're not going to do that right now. Could it be down the road or sooner that conferences like the Big Ten and the SEC say, yeah, you're on the bottom part of this conference. You're no longer picking up your weight. We need you to go. There's the door. See you later. Much like the Pac-12 may do with Oregon State and Washington State. Okay, could it be that Vanderbilt, Indiana, Illinois, some of these programs that don't get it done when it comes to being consistent in being competitive on the football platforms at the highest level, could we see more conference movement? I believe that to be the case. I believe that over the weekend there was some conversation again by the Big 12 and Pac-12. I don't know, Pac-10 as it is. I don't know how much conversation, but I know that there was some chatter. I know that if I'm to believe John Wilner, who's broke this story, who's on with us every week, we carry his content on the website, that this will be a really interesting week for UCLA because Governor Newsom has gone after him. I'm not bringing politics in here. It's just simple. The governor is not happy with this. The UC chancellors aren't happy with it. So this will be a very interesting week with UCLA ahead. As it pertains to ASU and U of A, where do things stand now? Is it still the two of them together to the Big 12? I don't believe there's any possibility of them breaking off of one another, but in this day and age, you simply don't know. If Oregon walks on Oregon State or Washington walks on Washington State, could we see it happen in other areas at other points in time? If the Big Ten can bring Rutgers in, because of television markets, could the Big Ten say, you know, we wouldn't mind having Phoenix involved in this, but with the current state of the program at ASU, no question that it's not at its highest, it's not at its shiniest. Are you just looking at another Purdue, something in the middle of the Big Ten, rather than going after? I've even had people said Michigan State might be in trouble on all this. So, and the people, it's not just some media hack who's voicing something. It's people that I, opinions I trust. They usually are out front of it. So that's going on. It is the college scene. And next Friday, week from this Friday, we'll be in Los Angeles at Pac-12 Media Day. I'm very interested to hear what Commissioner Kolovkoff has to say. And Could there be anything that's changed between now and then? Big 12 doesn't have a change in leadership with their commissioner until August 1st. So I feel like in this case, we've brought some guests over the last week or so. I thought Doug Haller was really good at The Athletic, talking about how he doesn't see it possible that U of A and ASU could be independent of one another. But if we're to believe that UCLA was negotiating independent of USC, you just never know. We're getting that point in time. High schools are getting started this week. Yeah, here in Arizona, it's this week. The Chandler School District starts. So Hamilton, Chandler, Castile, Basha, Perry, very good programs. Arizona College Prep at a lower level, all getting started this week with school. Here in Arizona, we don't wait till Labor Day, okay? School is back in session this week. On the pro front, the Cardinals get started with their rookies reporting later this week. We'll start doing more on the fantasy football front with Michael Fabiano. So plenty going on that front. Clayton Kershaw is going to start the All-Star game tomorrow night in Los Angeles. I have no problem with this. I have no problem with how baseball is trying to figure out, and they've been trying to figure out, and they can find some metrics that say we are headed in the right direction, and I happen to agree with them on some fronts. I think here in Arizona, there's just a lot of who cares about baseball because the Diamondbacks have been mediocre to terrible for so long. Yesterday was a good day for them, more on that in a minute. But in terms of juicing up, pardon the pun, in baseball, juicing up the All-Star game, making the Midsummer Classic more interesting to watch, because Home Run Derby tonight, fine enough. Not something I'm going to sit and watch. Clayton Kershaw being honored out on the mound tomorrow night, especially the way that he pitched in his last outing. He's done so much for the game. I think it's a smart move to put some of your guys out there that are at the end. This could be it. Put him out on the field. Is he one of the best? No. Is he going to throw the game away? No. Probably not. So I'm fine with this. In terms of the Diamondbacks, like I'm excited about the young players. I'm excited what they did last night. Drew Jones, Andrew Jones' son, being taken with the second overall pick. I'm sure a lot of it had to do with signability. Matt Holliday's kid was taken one. Baltimore felt like, yeah, we're not going to go down that path. And so they pass on Jones. They take him with the second pick. I sat in on a Zoom last night with Drew Jones, very impressed with him. You know, as a kid, he's coming in here, said all the right things, put up big numbers. I love the fact that he didn't go to an academy, didn't go chase that side of things. He just went to his high school. He pitched at his high school. In this day and age of baseball where games get out of control, maybe he throws in the eighth inning of a 10-0 game. I don't know. But in all seriousness, you put Andrew Jones' kid in center field. This player at 6'4", 480 pounds, is on the same level as his dad, if I'm to believe people much smarter than me. But you put him out in center field. You put Corbin Carroll in the outfield. You put Alec Thomas in the outfield. You put Jordan Lawler at shortstop. And all of a sudden, fans are going to want to see the product. Thing with the Diamondbacks, as all of us know far too well, they draft players and they wash out. They figure out, well, I don't want to be here, or we don't want you here. Trevor Bauer. Archie Bradley was here long enough. Did he really produce for the being a pick in the top 10? We all know what happened with Dansby Swanson. What an absolute disaster nightmare that's turned out to be. Tuki Toussaint. I can go on this deal. So just because they make the pick, again, until you get them all here, and quite frankly, in this day and age of baseball, like when Justin Upton was taken back in 2006, number one overall pick, and there was all this excitement, and the Diamondbacks rushed him up here. And I didn't feel like it was appropriate to do at the time, but the team was so bad they needed something. I think it's a different era now. You know, if I'm to believe that Andrew Jones' kid, Drew Jones, can already play defense at a double-A level, then get him up to double-A now and just get him here. I don't think that kids in this day and age, they played at high levels. Drew Jones was talking yesterday about how he played in a futures game up at Colorado. So he's already played in one of the biggest outfields out there. What's the downside on this? Are you going to ruin a kid? I think that that applied in years past. I'm trying to look at it as we're in a different era now where kids are playing at such a high level at such a low age. They're playing at 2 years, 3 years older than them when they're 6, 7, 8 years of age. And so by the time they get into high school, they're just taking care of business and mashing it. The deal of going to small A, A, double A, triple A. Triple A now is just basically go over there for rehab. You've been hanging on for a long time. You need a little bit of seasoning, but you don't need to be here long. I think that where we are with the Diamondbacks, it's a team that here at the break, they're sitting there at 40 and 52. If they had any bullpen at all, they're probably right around 500. And so, you know what, 92 games in, 70 games to go. My prediction at the start of the year is they'd finish with about 70 victories. So they've got 30 wins in them down the stretch. I don't even care if I come up 10 short. They've improved. They've been interesting at times. They've been maddening at others. Like last year, I just knew that's a bad team. This year, man, can you get your bullpen figured out? Can you just get a clutch hit or clutch hit there? I'm okay trading away Christian Walker. There should be a debate about that. He's a nice player that's got to be on a team. You got to have a first baseman. Fine. David Peralta in the next 2 weeks, it's been a great run, freight train. Go win a title somewhere. That's what you put in the work to do. He should be a deadline deal guy. But get me Lawler and Thomas and Carroll and Jones and get them here. Get them here. It's a different time. I think fans want to see that. All right. On the other side, Edgerrin James and I, business of sports, Edge is in the business world, an interview from earlier with Edgerrin James. That's next. All right, as promised, it's Edge, Edgerrin James. One of the greatest Hall of Fame speeches I have ever seen. Former Arizona Cardinal went to the Hall of Fame last August and had so much words of wisdom. And he's written a book, and it's, correct me if I'm wrong on this, it's great to see you, one, but this book, From Gold Teeth to Gold Jacket, it's business and football or football and business, Edge? Where are you at on this book?
Well, I think they run parallels. I think football is business. Football is life, you know, and so I made sure to make the comparison, but you can see the whole path throughout my walks in football that actually can help anybody or kind of resonate with many people that's actually dealing with business, because football is business, especially when you get to the NFL.
When did you first decide to do a book, and why do a book?
Well, you know, I decided to do the book once, I guess, the mission was complete. You know, you know, it's one of those things you set out to do to become a Hall of Fame football player. And I couldn't close that football chapter until I actually reached that milestone, and to actually receive the gold jacket, you know, I think it's time. You know, you have the whole story. You have the front and the back. So everything's covered now from the beginning all the way to the end.
When did business start to become on your radar? As a kid? I mean, when did you start having business acumen about the whole deal that you were involved in?
Well, at a young age, you start learning business. My grandfather was a contractor, and he's always dealt with different people. And for myself, you know, you start to be around those things, and then you start looking at sports. And once you leave college, you realize, hey, it's no longer the childhood game that you played that's strictly for fun. You know, now it's really strictly business, and it's strictly for funds with a D, you know. So it's, you know, it changes. You know, it goes from fun to funds. And the NFL is a serious business. And anybody that plays in the league long enough, they're going to really understand business, and hopefully they end up on the right side of it.
When you see name, image, likeness in this day and age with college kids, if they had NIL when you were back in the day, maybe they had NIL. We just didn't know about it. I don't know. But, you know, Charles Barkley gives me the greatest line ever, Brad. He said, I took a pay cut when I went to the NBA. But, you know, in all seriousness, NIL in this day and age, just on a business side, when you see what's going on with college players today and even some high school kids wanting to get involved in NIL, what do you make out of it, Edge? Or have you followed it that closely?
Yeah, I actually speak about that in the book. You know, I speak about that because, you know, I think it's a serious topic. I have two sons that are they're in college. One in college, one's going to college. And you have to be aware of everything that's going on. So I make sure that I'm aware of it and kind of know the rules. And for a parent that has no idea about this stuff, I think it could go left easy, you know, because when you start talking about your personal needs, the things you need, especially in sports. In sports, we have, you know, we have a lot of kids coming from, you know, tough situations. And those situations could dictate a decision, you know, and an uninformed decision. So the rules, they're not that clear. I think it's a slippery slope. I think there's going to be benefits to some, but I think it's gonna do some damage also, because you think about the hunger you have. I look back at myself. If there was an NIL during those times, you know, are you going to skip out this workout to go do this interview or to go do this photo shoot? You know, are you going to, you know, go on this vacation? Is the hunger going to be there? You know, are you turn into a celebrity? You have potential to make more money than the people that's actually teaching you and coaching you and the guys that's pushing you. And for some guys, you know, it could go wrong. But if it's done right, I think it could be a great tool. It's like fire, you know, it can warm you, it can burn you. It depends on how you use it.
Very wise words there, because I see players at the college level that are just chasing the NIL, which really is pennies, but they may need the money now. I get that. Versus, guys, if you just grind for 2 years and you get to the league, you're going to make that money exponentially. So the hunger that you talk about, I think the outside voices on the college player with NIL sometimes gets distracted and it's mixed messaging.
I agree. Absolutely.
Edrin James with us for a couple of minutes. Why don't you put that book right in front of the camera for a second, just so people can see it. It's called From Gold Teeth to Gold Jacket. There it is. It comes out right before the Super Bowl, but I'm sure you can pre-order it. Edrin James, not just a Hall of Fame running back, but an author now. That's pretty cool.
to add another title to your name. It's like somebody going to get a PhD. You're just adding layers. It's just another layer. And for me, it's just really getting a chance to show, you know, the kids or the younger kids that, hey, there's more to it than just playing sports. There's more to it than just going to college. You know, there's so many other things you can attain that's possible and that's out there. And for me, this is something that I've added to all the major things or all the many things that I've accomplished. And to be able to put a book out there, you know, that's a big deal, because I love to read books, but to really walk in a bookstore and, you know, see your name on a book, I think that's pretty dope.
That is really, really something. If someone does buy this book, what are they going to get out of it? What do you hope they get out of it?
Well, I think hopefully they'll see themselves at some point in time in the book, because it covers a wide range of topics. You know, it covers a lot, and especially athletes that's actually playing the game. And if you're a fan, when you look at this, when you read this book, you're going to get a greater appreciation for the things we've done, or especially when our time at the coach, you know, the work we put in, you know, we speak on those things. And then you hear from a bunch of different players, coaches, you hear from the owner, you hear from them and their words. So I try to make it a timeless book, something that people can resonate with, because I look at the things that have been going on year in and year out, you know, so a lot of stuff is repetitive. You know, and you want to say, okay, how can I help change the narrative? How can I help, you know, bring awareness to certain situations?
Stuff that you would have seen as a 16-year-old, you may say, man, if I just would have had somebody tell me this now that I'm out of the game, I would have, should have, could have, right?
Yeah, I think when you look at some of the things that we talk about in here, I think you get a greater appreciation for the person. And when you see people that drive, you see a person that's hungry, and you see the things you go through to attain certain things, to be an NFL player, to actually get there, that's one thing. But to stay there, that's another thing. To make it to the Hall of Fame, that's another thing. To actually be successful financially when that career is over, that's another thing. There's so many layers to it. You know, some people, you know, their ceiling is not high enough, you know, and they'll sit up there and settle. They'll say, hey, I made it to the NFL. It was great. And they'll ride that out. And they feel like they've accomplished what they set out to accomplish. when there's more to it. And I always want to show that there's more to it than just getting there. There's more to life than just doing that. And also, you know, I speak on being a parent, you know, because we all have to go through these same things. You know, you didn't have to play football to talk about your children. So I always talk about my children. You know, I talk about every facet of life that I could. You know, you wish you had more time. It may need a part two because it's so much information, but it's condensed.
It's really smart. Hall of Famer Edgerrin James with us. Before I get you out of here, here's what I see of players that are done with their careers. Most of them are not sitting across from me with a book and speaking words of wisdom about finance, family. A lot of them are still trying to find the rush of running out on the field in front of 70,000 people and having this car for free or that meal for free. And some are lost souls, quite frankly. The period of adjustment for you when you left the game, was it a struggle at all for you before you entered the Hall of Fame?
No, it never was a struggle for me because I knew my purpose before I got there. You know, before I got to the NFL, I understood that football is just a vehicle to get me where I'm trying to really go. You know, I've always wanted to be in business. I always wanted to lead by example. And we see a lot of the guys that kind of go through things. You have to understand the why. You know, the why is it's like you committed your whole entire life to being the best at what you're doing. And then with what you're doing, it's kind of the job's not available no more. Now you're back in the real world. And I think anybody would struggle when it's something, when they have to just, hey, I got to get out here and do something.
Hold up from under them. Yeah. Yeah.
Take is totally different. So yeah. I think when people get a clear understanding of the athlete's point of view and the reason why athletes are put in that situation is because you have to think there's so much pressure to perform at a high level, to go out and give these fans the best game or everything you have. You have to give it everything you have. And if you're giving it everything you have, I mean, you're slacking in other areas. So it's not as easy as people think to find that balance. And for me, you know, I went into it for football. You know, I love playing football, but I love business more. So my priorities were a little bit different. And that helped me with the transition because it was an easy transition for myself because I knew what I was there for.
Before I get you out of here, the time with the Cardinals, I remember at the Super Bowl, was it a white? What was the car you drove up in?
The Lamborghini.
Yeah.
The white Lamborghini.
Yep. Yeah. I'm standing there waiting for you to show up. I've got my cameraman, and here comes Edge. And you know, the white Lamborghini pulls up, and you hop out. You had fun at that Super Bowl. You had fun with the whole process when you're here in Arizona, it looked like.
You know, I enjoy life. You know, I don't let life bog me down. I don't take nothing too serious. You know, once I get an understanding of what I'm doing, I'm going to make the best out of it. You give me 2 hours to go have fun, I'm going to go have 2 hours of fun. You know, I'm not going to just sit there and wait on somebody else to tell me what to do. You know, I'm going to make the most out of it. And that's what I did when I was in Arizona. You know, Arizona, I didn't know anybody. I didn't have no family or anything. But within a couple of weeks, within a couple of months, you know, I was around the city just like I had been there for years, you know. Yeah. So it's one of those things where I'm going to make the most out of it because I know where I'm coming from. And where I'm coming from, you don't have these opportunities. So I embrace those opportunities. I loved Arizona. It was beautiful weather, beautiful city. And to go there to a franchise that wasn't one of the most popular, that wasn't known for winning, and helped shape that franchise and turn it around, you know, that's a great feeling to even make it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Fans loved you here. Your time was short, but you left a lasting imprint. And that's what it's all about in life. I appreciate the time and good luck on the book. And we hope to see you back here in Arizona sometime doing something. All right.
All right. Okay. See you out there.
There's Edgerrin James. Why don't you push that book out one more time, Edge, and we'll say goodbye off that. The book. There it is. The bust.
The bust.
That Hall of Fame speech was something. Something
Thank
to
God.
This day.
I appreciate that.
You were real and just beat people right between the eyes. So there's Edgerrin James.
You.
From gold teeth to gold jacket, the Hall of Fame running back, former Arizona Cardinal and Colts. Get his book. It's out now. We're back after this time out.